Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can join the show and bring up anything that you want to discuss. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you can join us online anytime you want. Just head on over to freetalklive.com. You'll find various different features waiting for you. And they are for free. A lot of those talk show hosts, they want to charge you for accessing their websites. And again, ours is free, so please enjoy those features over at freetalklive.com. Joining you here in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Jay,
and Joa.
All right, so good to be back here, guys, after a long day of traveling, at least for Joa and I, as we were out and about in Concord, New Hampshire today. I had special permission to go and cover the trial, the ongoing trial of one Footloose.
Oh, my God.
Footloose is his name, but that he tends to go by. His real name's Frank. And Frank has been on trial now for this, what they call the New Hampshire 9 arrest. This happened, I think it was fall of 2021. It was at the time when the New Hampshire Executive Council was trying to accept $27 million in COVID bribe money from the federal government. They had first rejected the bribe money at a previous executive council meeting, as I understood it. I understand how things went. I didn't actually attend these meetings. I wasn't allowed to at the time, so I was on house arrest. But Bonnie did go to this the second meeting in this case. They had to reschedule the meeting because so many people came to the first meeting that they canceled the meeting because they were afraid of what might happen to them, because the people that were at the meeting were so upset over them taking this potentially taking this $27 million in bribe money from the federal government. They canceled that meeting, rescheduled a new meeting, and the new meeting was happening and happened at the police training center.
Oh, that's where that was.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, which they don't normally have meetings at the police training center, but they got a big hall there.
Right.
And they cordoned off half of this location.
Strategically.
Oh, yeah. And it was obvious what the plan was. From the if I'd walked into that room, I'd have been like, oh, okay, yeah, I know what's going on here. So they had like 70 cops. State troopers, probably some local cops as well. And they had this big meeting center in the whatever department of quote-unquote safety where they do the police trainings. And half the room's cordoned off by like a huge curtain that was hung from the ceiling. Behind the curtain, there were a bunch of empty chairs zip-tied together. And I never heard whether the chairs in front of the curtain were also zip-tied, but I suspect they were as well. And when they zip-tie chairs together, that's to prevent people from picking chairs up and throwing them or using them as like a, you know, like a weapon, like in wrestling.
How much trust they have in us, huh?
Yeah. One of the places I noticed it actually was when we were at the Press NH Now trial. It was in a really old courtroom that has not been updated since probably like the 1950s. And they didn't have your typical pews. They just had those like those church chairs where there's no arms on the chairs. And they had those zip tied together. I'm like, oh yeah, the reason they're zip tying these is because somebody's going to get mad in court and like pick up a chair. So they did the same thing at this executive council meeting. So they were ready for, and they had apparently like a dozen paddy wagons on site as well. So they were ready.
And they want to use all that equipment.
Oh, yeah. Well, they paid, you know, the taxpayers paid for it. So, of course, they want to use the equipment. So they were prepared for, you know, making mass arrests at this event. They knew how upset people were about the $27 million. And they figured that they're in a bigger space. More people are going to show up. And indeed, more people showed up than would fit in this new room. that they were attending.
So we have an example here of government or so-called government people fearing the citizenry.
Yes.
And so that was defined as liberty, I believe, by Thomas Jefferson. Right.
Well, it didn't look like liberty. They got mass arrested. 9 people got arrested for nothing.
But I believe the quote goes, tyranny is when a government fears the people, and liberty is tyranny is when the people fear the government, and liberty is when the government fears the people.
It definitely helps, right, to have the government be more afraid of the people than the reverse, but clearly it hasn't ended the tyranny quite yet.
Nope. I don't know. I don't like particularly that logic. And the reason why, because I don't want fear at all.
Mm. Well, it would be nice to have more love in the world. That is definitely true. But government is—it lives on fear, right? Well, government exists because people are afraid. That's why it manifests.
The idea of government, people in government being afraid of the citizenry, I think is a positive thing and mm-hmm. a good thing, because when you become part of as a government employee, you get all these special immunities and privileges. Such as you are, literally by definition, if you work for the state of New Hampshire, you are now irresponsible. Because mm-hmm. the state of New Hampshire has what's called RSA 99A qualified immunity for all state employees, which means
and
that they
every
are not
state
liable.
Has
correct. All, yeah, all these have it. Immunity. So all state employees are, by definition of their job employment, irresponsible. Is bottom line. And, yep. and
that's a perk.
If,
that's a perk of a job.
Right. And if irresponsible people had fear, then they would be probably more responsible. But as now, you know, I don't believe they had qualified immunity, you know, 150 years ago. You know, that's like a sort of, you know, recent thing in history.
Yeah, I wonder when that came about. That's an interesting question.
It was sometime in the 40s for really? Some stuff in Massachusetts I found.
Well, I want to be clear. When you're talking about fear, I don't think it's a good thing to, or I don't think you're talking about, like, the fear of violence. I think that the fear of consequences for their actions, right? Like, for instance, during the COVID crackdown, a lot of us, including Footloose, the guy I was going to tell you about what happened in court today. But, you know, Footloose and me and Joe, I'm pretty sure you were out there at some points, out in front of the governor's house.
Yeah.
Back in, like, 2020 and 2021, we had multiple protests that were going on out there. And the purpose of that was free speech. It wasn't to put fear into to anyone's heart. But dishonest, slimebag politicians are afraid of freedom of speech. They are afraid of being held accountable for their actions. So I just want to clarify, like, when you say fear, you're not talking about, like, violence or anything.
No, I'm not talking about violence, but, you know, basically what I'm talking about is, like, these people in government don't care about their reputation, because no matter how bad their reputation is, they're always just going to be sort of protected by the, you know, by the state, by the government.
The lower level bureaucrats, you're right, they don't care about their reputation, but the politicians do. They do care, because they want everybody to like them. They want to get reelected.
I don't think they do. Well, some of them do, and some of them, I can tell you, Tony Kaplan, one of the guys I ran against, mm-hmm. he's state representative. He won, but I mean, he's just like, you know,
is this a Republican or a Democrat?
He's definitely a Democrat. Okay. You know, hardcore cult member type. You know, believes in all the, you know, Biden type, you know, narratives. He's anti-gun. He's, you know, pro, you know, forcing pornography and, you know, things down kids, you know, throats into schools where they're putting, like, you know, these
intended.
Yeah, the gender queer book should be read by every, you know, third grader kind of deal, you know, and you know one of those guys, and, you know, doesn't think, you know, thinks he, you know, the Klaus Schwab's a really good dude, and, you know, and the Federal Reserve is, like, you know, doing a good job, and, you know, but he's just a typical, you know, leftist bureaucrat, you know, is what he really is. But, you know, and a lot of these leftists I see, they don't really, I definitely believe the conservatives are more concerned about their you know, their reputation than these guys on the left, because they say some crazy radical stuff. But, you know, and a lot of the left, they act like no matter what they say, they're just going to get voted in. And that's kind of what's been happening.
Mm. Well, I mean, those people are still concerned with their reputation amongst their people, right? Like, they still have to have a reputation on the left.
Yeah,
so
maybe. But, like, anyone who's voting for, you know, essentially, you know, the like this recent bill they just had, my wife and kids and a bunch of people went to Concord the other day, and it was to testify about a bill, a parental rights bill. And there was a whole bunch of radical leftists there basically, you know, stating that this was an anti-trans rights bill. And it was a bill where to make it illegal in New Hampshire for schools to basically hide things from the parents, like hide the trans affirmative care stuff, or what do they call it? Mm-hmm. gender affirmation care, and they wanted to it's a bill that potentially makes that stuff illegal to do, you know, by state employees. And there's a whole bunch of people that want the state to be able to secretly transgender your children, and they showed up, you know, in support of this bill, and they're just, you know, crazy wackos, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they want to make it so the schools can do things to your children without telling you. And my solution is don't send your kid to public school.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was where I was going to come from. I don't know all the details on this bill that you're talking about. I've heard some things from both sides on it. And on the one hand, I hear from the people who supported the bill that it, like you're saying, allows some secrecy or whatever when it comes to certain health issues that young people might be having. And I could understand in certain circumstances wherein, let's say, you know, you've got a couple parents that are ultra religious and you are wanting to be trans or whatever as a teenager, and your religious parents are psychos and they're going to, you know, hurt you in some way if they find out the truth about their kid. I mean, that could be a pretty uncomfortable situation to be in, and I wouldn't want to, you know, put somebody in a situation where the state is now forcing their parents to know something about someone who doesn't need to know. They don't need to know certain things. So I can see where that argument comes from. On the other hand, I can also see the argument of, hey, look, you're under my roof. I need to know everything about what you're doing. And the state would then inform parents about that. But again, if we didn't have state schools, then this really wouldn't be a problem in the first place. People wouldn't have to fight over this crap.
I mean, the way I look at it is the children are the property of the parents, basically, until the children are able to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the state would like to claim that the children are their property. And this whole idea with, allowing like a 12-year-old to like get, you know, surgeries to essentially sterilize themselves is an idea that's being pushed by the radical left really hard everywhere. In fact, they're backing off on this huge over in Europe because they've been doing it for such a long time, and it's caused such a backlash, and there's all kinds of doctors and everything in Europe getting sued now by adults who have a horrible, miserable life because they got, you know, convinced into transgendering as, you know, as a child. And what's it, so like in Boston, for example, and probably everywhere, if you identify as a cat, you know, you can answer the question with a meow, and they'll put a kitty litter box in the bathroom for you. So what if a 12-year-old wants to be a pirate?
Is that actually happening in Boston?
Well, absolutely, yes. But what if a 12-year-old wants to be a pirate, and he wants to get an eye gouged out so he has a reason to wear his, you know, eye patch, and, you know, wants to, you know, get his hand cut off so he can have a, you know, a hook hand? I mean, I don't see the difference.
Those are legitimate concerns. Absolutely. And I certainly don't think that children should be making decisions to cut body parts off on their own without any parental input. On the other hand, I also believe that, you know, it's kind of, you alluded,
or being put on like testosterone or puberty, sure, blockers or stuff like that.
I also feel as you do, and I think as you alluded to, that a young person, if they are ready to be independent, should have that opportunity for themselves. And, you know, 12 is pretty young for that. But, you know, as you get up into the teenage years, you become more and more likely to be able to make a life for yourself outside of parents. And if you've got abusive parents,
sure,
then you should be able to get out from that situation. And unfortunately, the government forces young people who don't want to stay with their parents anymore to stay with those parents. And I think that's as much of a problem as people cutting their body parts off, because they may be under the roof of some parents who are, you know, starving them or torturing them or, you know, beating them or doing, you know, terrible things to them. So there's no real good answer to the situation that involves the state. I think we need to have the state out of family lives, and people who want to be independent should have that respected. And we don't have that. And in the meantime, we've got this one-size-fits-all government school system that people are constantly fighting over what, you know, direction things should go, what direction things should be taught, what kind of morals should the Bible be there. There's been all these conflicts for so long, and it's just so tiresome. And I wish we had more Free Stater reps that were actually advocating for the end of government schools rather than this sort of nibbling around the edges that, right. Oh, well, let's make the government behave this way versus this other way. I see where sort of both sides are coming from on this without, you know, necessarily being a fan of either of the sides on this. What do you think, Joe? Have you heard anything about this?
Yeah, I just don't think the state should be involved at all with any of this stuff.
Yeah, but that's the problem. They get bogged down in the fact that the state is involved, and so, well, then everybody feels like they have to take a side on this stuff.
And that's what they're doing. They're trying to create two sides of a problem.
Right, and I think parents should, I get it, like they should have the right to know what things are going on inside these government schools. And that's one of the reasons I liked Carlin Borshenko's proposal. She was the Libertarian candidate for governor last year. She said, you know what, if you're forced to pay for the schools, then how come there's not a camera in every single classroom? Why shouldn't you be able to see exactly what these teachers are saying? I mean, people got a taste of what that was like during COVID, and that was kind of one of the side effects, one of the positive side effects of the COVID nonsense, was that all of a sudden there's cameras in classrooms, and parents could actually see what the curriculum was. And Carlin wasn't saying that the camera should be focused on the children. The point was to, like, focus it at the front where the chalkboard is or the whiteboard or whatever, so you can see. See what the damn teacher's saying. What's the propaganda that's being... Why shouldn't you be able to? You're forced to pay for it. It's like 60 to 70% of the property taxes up here. Yeah. But we have no idea what's going on in there.
You'll see how your money's actually being wasted. That's why they don't want it.
And most of that money that is being paid for the school taxes is actually going to service to pensions.
Sure.
All of the pension obligations have to be met before any infrastructure obligation is met from the taxes. And I tell people every day, the worst thing you can do to your kid is send them to a government-sponsored school.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it's the first worst thing besides putting an internet device in front of them when they're an infant, but those two things are really bad.
It's a bad combo for sure.
And one lady said, "If you tell me I'm a bad mother for sending my kids to public school?" I'm like, "Yeah, I am actually." Mm-hmm. "You are." Yeah. And she's like,
"Laziness."
She's like, "How could you do that?" And I'm like, "Well, first off," I says, "Do you know what they're teaching your kids in the school? You know, you need to be doing your." She's like, "Well, me and my husband both got to work." And I says, "Well, it sounds like there's a serious problem if both you and your husband both have to work and then send your kids to, you know, a government subsidized day prison to mm-hmm. be indoctrinated and, you know, essentially grow up to, you know, just be dependent on government because it's all schools are really churning out."
One crazy thing that I heard recently is I think it was on Carlin's channel, is that in Massachusetts, as young as 3 years old, state funded program, they're starting to coach these 3-year-olds into transition.
That's great.
It's all state employees, too, who are pushing this trend. Not all, but most of the examples are state employees via public school systems, guidance counselors, school psychiatrists.
Why do you think that is?
Because the state is... people, psychopaths, first off, really enjoy those positions of power.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that... the radical left, the leftists, aren't having any kids, so they want to control the conservative kids because it's the conservative families
that eat soy all day and they can't have kids.
For whatever reason, they've just been, you know, I have so many peers, you know, I'm 43 years old, I have so many peers that are... That don't feel like having any kids that are my age, that don't want to have kids. I believe it's been culturally ingrained in them. We're seeing a major epidemic of women who are in their 40s and their 50s, and they're like freaking out because they don't have any kids. And they, you know, and then a lot of them, you know, that I believe the feminist movement was, you know, part of that. And I believe it's controlled. It's basically a controlled demolition of the American empire. One element of it.
It's depopulation. It's part of it. You know, they send the alpha males, the young, I'm sorry, ignorant, and not very bright, not very educated, you know, masculine alphas to war, and they die, or they come back with mental problems, and, you know, all kind. That's like the first step in this big problem. And you got rid of, basically, they've been doing that for, you know, 100 years, right? Sending off all the strong off to die. And then you got, you know, everyone else that's left behind. Not saying that not everyone is like in the alpha mode, but, you know, I just feel like they're discouraging people having kids unless you're on welfare. Then they want you to breed your dumb kids because you're dumb. You probably don't have a father figure in your life and just keep breeding these dumb kids. They're definitely going to be in public school because the mom doesn't have to work and they don't have enough money to homeschool, whatever. And it's just a wicked perpetuate thing of depopulation, for sure. For sure.
That's an interesting theory.
They don't want smart people.
Mm-hmm.
And America's a real problem for the globalist elite because, you know, we all have guns here in America. Most of the people, especially all of New Hampshire. I mean, one of the reasons New Hampshire is like one of the most safest states in the United States of America is because it is a heavily armed population. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
well, that's one of the things they're trying to poison people in the government schools about, is they're trying to teach them that guns are bad and so on and so forth. And it's like the best thing
they
could do.
Protect life? No. They want people to die. So having a gun is protection of life.
Yeah.
So you see, it's more depopulation, mm-hmm. right?
Well, this is why getting the government schools gone should be a priority for the free staters, in my opinion. And
yes.
Somebody needs to put a bill forward that just abolishes it entirely. And I understand, I don't know if it appears in the Constitution. I know that there was some sort of Supreme Court case here in New Hampshire years ago that claimed that there was some requirement that the government has to provide a quote-unquote adequate education. And I don't know if that's actually in the Constitution itself.
So that's interesting because we know that the Supreme Court has ruled several times that the government has no obligation to protect you.
That's right.
People sue police.
That's the U.S. Supreme Court, yeah.
Right. So, well, that's been ruled on in state courts also.
Has it?
But there is some state courts where basically they've ruled that also. I wonder
if New Hampshire's one of them. I don't
believe so. I was actually in the law library today in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. Well, the state library, because we were doing some study in there and found out some very interesting things. But yeah, I really think the thing with sending kids to landowners being forced to pay property taxes to fund these schools. And schools are they're not educating kids. They're indoctrinating and programming and dumbing them down. And that, I believe, could be a very clear case of taxation without representation at very least. But like every tax collector in New Hampshire should start getting right to know requests for the evidence that, for the documents a tax collector relies on that landowners are responsible to pay for these teachers' union contracts or responsible or have an obligation to pay for the pensions of teachers.
Well, that's an interesting point, because if there is a requirement for a quote-unquote adequate education, it certainly doesn't include pensions, right? Like, you don't have to have a pension to have a quote-unquote adequate education for children. There's more coming up here. In fact, this whole adequate education concept is back in the news again. We can talk about that. Plus, I still get to talk about Footloose, so I do want to get back to what happened to him in court today. We're coming up.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Prosecutors are reportedly set to drop manslaughter charges against Alec Baldwin in the onset death while filming the movie Rust. A statement from Baldwin's lawyer said they're pleased with the decision to dismiss the case against Alec. The film cinematographer was accidentally killed by a prop gun that was held by Baldwin. The White House says House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's debt limit proposal would be a disaster.
Will they vote to kill manufacturing jobs in their own home districts and reverse the reshoring of manufacturing from China.
White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre. A fourth suspect is in custody in connection with the mass shooting at a Sweet 16 birthday party in Alabama last weekend. 20-year-old Johnny Latron Brown faces four counts of reckless murder. The shooting in the small town of Dadeville killed four people, left nearly three dozen others injured. Dave Collins, USA News.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. You can bring up anything you want. Number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have there. Also, want to say big thanks to longtime sponsor here on Free Talk Live, Mark Warden and Porcupine Real Estate. If you've been hearing about some of the cool stuff going on here in New Hampshire, if you're a liberty-minded individual and you want to, or maybe you got a family, and you want to make the move up here to New Hampshire, you've been thinking about it and you want to learn a little bit more before you, you know, pull the trigger on that, then head on over to the Porcupine Real Estate website. You can go to our, we'll get a short URL for you. It's move.freetalklive.com. That takes you right to a page where you can sign up for a webinar. They're having a series of these webinars at Porcupine Real Estate. They're going to focus in on certain really cool aspects about New Hampshire, like gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom victories that the Free Staters and liberty-minded folks have had here. They've got, of course, some on the best practices for moving to the Free State and how to find housing here. Of course, Porcupine Real Estate knows all about that stuff. So they're really good webinars from what I understand. You can go to move.freetalklive.com and sign up for yours there. They're free to attend. Just get signed up at move.freetalklive.com. If you want to see what they've been like, they actually have them on their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. You just go there and watch some of the previous seminars. But there's upcoming ones that you can get on board with. Just go to move.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, we were talking about education and the crappy government version of it that everybody is forced to pay for, whether they agree with it or not. And, of course, that means that people will fight over the education system. And we've seen this for forever, As long as government school exists, there's going to be interest groups that want to make sure that their interests are represented, that their interests are being shoved down these kids' throat. And it's like, if you just had your kids out of the government school, you could send them to whatever school you wanted to. If you want to send your kids to a, you know, pro-trans, atheist, hard-left school or whatever, you could do that. If you wanted to send your kids to a Bible-thumping, hard-right-wing, ultra-conservative school, they would have that, too, in a free market of schools. And if you wanted to send your kid to, like, an open-minded place, then I'm sure those would exist as well. That's what we ought to have.
Or not even send them to school at all. I think, sure. I think a kid that got no input whatsoever, no, you know, any kind of education at all, like, they were literally just ignored, would be better off than a kid going to public school. And, in fact, I've seen that example time and time again where kids are just, like, you know, Amish. You know, there's a lot of, like, young Amish kids that don't really have, like, a curriculum. And, but, you know,
they're plenty smart, right?
They become, you know, productive, valuable adults, you know, because they just follow whatever they want to do.
And that is what they call unschooling in the sort of the homeschooling community, as I understand it. So, like, the traditional homeschooling concept is the parents kind of create the curriculum for their kids. The unschooling idea is it's just going to happen naturally. You let the kids figure out what they want to learn and let them, you know, go about doing what they need to do to learn it. If they want to tap into their parents as a resource, then they can. But that's about it, right?
And the thing about the Amish, not all of them are like unschoolers, but I definitely knew a handful of them that were basically were, you know, they weren't sending their kids to the Amish schoolhouse or anything. But, and I've actually, you know a handful of, you know, early 20s, late teenage, sort of unschooled, you know, free range kids, and, you know, they're pretty handy. They have value. You know, they can do stuff, and they want to do stuff. They're interested in doing stuff. They have a, you know, they want to get that dopamine hit from, you know, job well done or something accomplished. And I've noticed that a lot with the homeschoolers and the unschooled kids versus, you know, the kids that have been, you know, jammed through the schools.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
That's all right. Captain Kickass was saying when I'm moving, so it's all good. Thank you there, brother Ian.
You're saying what?
No, Captain Kickass, when I was talking to him like last week or so, was saying something that, no, it was the week before that. He was saying about, when are you going to move to New Hampshire?
No, I don't think he would say that to you. You're not a libertarian.
He said, what's wrong with New Hampshire about me living? Something like that.
Yeah, no, you should stay right where you are, Ricky. You're fine right where you are.
All right, thank you, brother.
Yeah, we only need libertarian activists to move to New Hampshire.
Well, nonetheless. Yeah. I did have something I wanted to address, actually, because, you know, I care about this show, and not only that, what it represents. There's nothing like it around, you know, and there never would be again. But last
night, that's probably
true,
sadly.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's good, though, you know. It's a beautiful thing. But I had three concerns. I listened to last night's show, because I listen every night, you know, and I have three concerns, and I like to address them and put them out there for discussion, if I could. Now, here's the first concern. This is the least one. The first concern was at the end of hour number one. All of a sudden, you know, Aria came out and said, you're free to call except for, what's that dude's name? Oh, Ricky from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you and her have been having a spat, but you've already said you're not going to call on nights that she's on, so.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. But anyways, then she said, I don't know why he doesn't like me or something like that. But then she said also, she said about David from New Mexico is technically not banned, but I'm not going to take his call tonight. That was the least list. Now, here's on the number two. Number two is our number two. Major Payne called in. And he was talking to her, and it seemed kind of good enough, her and Nikki. But it did start to deteriorate. And at a point, Aria said, I put him on hold because he was just yelling. But there's what's weird about it. She just started talking to Nikki for a long period of time. And then what ended up eventually happened, she took a call from the situation. Mm-hmm. And that call went okay. But at the end of that call, she said, thank you for the call, the situation. Oh, and Major Payne. Well, Major Payne's long gone. He was never heard again.
Now, oh, I'm sure he'll call again.
Well, okay, but here's the third one. Now, this one really kind of bothered me, and I wanted to address this one because I addressed this back in 2017. It was at the beginning of the third hour, and she was announcing an amplifier. And she started to say about, you know, the radio, and started to say about the stations. She stopped it. She says, you know what, I'm not going to say that anymore. Because then she further goes on to say, because I think the future is on things like Odyssey, mm-hmm. and we should get more people on Odyssey and the podcast.
Yeah, I heard all this. I happened to be listening to most of the show last night.
What's the point you're trying to make?
Are you upset because there's certain people she doesn't want to talk to?
Well, I mean, but the thing that bothered me the most is the third one, because I talked about this in 2017. Free Talk Live is special because it's on the radio.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody's got a podcast.
That's true.
Everybody's got one.
But, I mean, don't you think she's, I mean, to some extent, right? Like, I mean, I don't want to throw my radio stations under the bus. I mean, I love radio. I grew up on it. It's the most important part of the show. But, I mean, does radio have a future beyond the next 50 years?
Well, if I may make a comment, Brother Ian, now, this is what I said back in 2017. But it's even more apparent. Say you take a guy like Steve Bannon, who has a podcast, The War Room. He's a right-wing extremist. You know who he is.
I've heard of him.
He's got a podcast. Anybody can have a damn podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's
radio,
true.
But he doesn't have to.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question, though, Ricky.
Yeah?
The question is, does radio have a future beyond the next 50 years? And I think that might be.
Well, here's what I'll say to that. The answer, yes. And I'll tell you why, Brother Ian. Because people said that decades ago. They said that when FM came out, that would be the end of radio, and so on and so forth, you know? Because here's what I look at. Because if you have just a podcast, it's not going to be Free Talk Live like it was anymore. Because nobody's going to care. People aren't going to call in anymore.
You've never heard of live streaming on the Internet.
I have, but everybody does that.
Well,
you know?
No, not everybody does that, but it certainly is popular. I mean, there's no doubt. Joey, you have a live stream that you do over at Breaking the Flaw, and that you've actually probably got way more viewers on average than we do.
Sorry.
You couldn't really – no, it's fine. I think it's great. You couldn't really do that on the radio, right? And you really couldn't do it on television because broadcast –
I swear too much.
Well, and also broadcast television doesn't want to have that kind of content on television. And the numbers – I'm sorry to tell you this, Ricky, but at least when it comes to television, the numbers are going down. Old school television watching, the old – what they would call linear television watching, where you got to be at, you know, Friday at 8 o'clock to see Family Matters, right? Like, or whatever it was.
Oh, no,
right?
No doubt. Yeah, I stopped watching sitcoms.
That's going down, okay? And television news, that's going down. These Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, I mean, everybody knows these names. Hold on, Ricky. Let me just make this point here. Everybody knows these names because we all grew up with them. But their actual audience is a fraction of someone like Joe Rogan. Rogan's got millions of people that listen to his podcasts. And CNN would be happy if they had 500,000 people watching one of their nighttime television shows.
I think more people watch Tim Pool than all of the mainstream media put together.
Yep.
That may be true, maybe in the long run. I mean, I've seen Tim Pool streaming, and he's got a few thousand people watching. But you know,
if
maybe
you do
over
a combination of like the stream and then the replays.
Yeah, over
and
a couple months
like
or something.
Four or
he
five,
might.
Like. 10, 15-minute clips a day. You add all those views together, more people are watching.
And honestly, I don't know why. I mean, I don't know what Tim Pool brings to the table that is particularly, you know, makes him any different than any other conservative.
He's not really garbage in the corporate media. You know, he's a very, like, I refer to him as a milquetoast fence-sitter, like, non-biased, not going to have an opinion.
It's
type.
Funny. He calls himself milquetoast.
Right, he does. But but he's just, he has, like, he's like a journalist without an opinion. That's why I sort of disagree with a handful of things he has to say often, because, you know, he just sort of just, He always like seems to like when a government does bad things, sort of like come up with some kind of plausible deniability. But also, he's also very, very careful not to trip the YouTube censors, because you know that's you know how he makes his money. But he does have a lot more viewers than corporate media, which I think is great because, corporate media is horrible.
That reminds me, I just want to mention that High Impact Flicks, he had over 500,000 subscribers. His channel just got shut down yesterday.
Is this one of the First Amendment auditors?
No, he highlights a lot of their stuff, but he mostly just... You've played his stuff before.
He does, highlight reels of other people's stuff?
Not so much. He usually just covers, government abuses, cop abuses.
Okay.
And he does a lot of stuff that, Tim Pool talks about and that sort of thing. Here's the Deal is his other channel.
That's
all cop stuff.
Yeah. I think I subscribed to that one. So they shut down his first channel?
Yes, I know, I don't think he's getting it back.
Wow.
As far as I know.
Well, that's one of the downsides of relying on these online platforms is they can shut you down at any time.
He's on Odyssey, too. So.
That's good. Ricky, the point I want to finish on here is that I gave you examples of how the television industry is dying, right? Like, their numbers are going down. The newspaper industry is having a tougher time. They are almost... They're basically on life support at this point. In fact, in some cases, the government has actually stepped forward with tax dollars to keep newspapers alive. So they literally, in some cases, are on life support. Radio seems to be doing the best of sort of the old big three media, newspaper, television, and broadcast radio. Radio's doing the best. It's still got a lot of listenership in cars, for instance. But how many people, in the studio, how many of you guys have a radio at home? Jay's got one.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So I bought my daughter a little $8, battery-powered radio because she likes playing with those kind of gadgets. Okay. She likes playing with that kind of stuff, and I don't want her playing with an internet device. And it does, weather band and AM and FM, and she
likes it?
She likes it. She has fun That's with cool. it. And, she's like, what's this, Dad? And, it's French or something. Someone's talking on some channel because we're pretty close to Canada. You can pick up French on AM pretty easy here. And, that's the only reason. But,
but if it weren't for your daughter.
In the house or in the shop? No, because usually I'm just either streaming LRN.fm from the phone through the listener call-in line. And, and basically driving here, I'll listen to a little bit of radio because there's spots where, there is no... Unless I downloaded something to listen to, but pretty much it's all podcasts or...
And you're about in my age range, early 40s, so we grew up with radio.
I hate commercials.
Right? Well, I'm 49.
Yeah.
Now, if I may give a little comment and then a suggestion, I wanted to comment quick on that radio thing. Actually, I have coming on my way, somebody's ordering it. A radio that does, powered by solar, crank, it's got a USB to charge your cell phone, all band
That's
radio,
cool.
and the whole thing.
You I know, got a crank anyway, radio.
I had one years ago,
Yeah.
But anyway, here's a suggestion, it's going to be a while, but, when it does come up for that idea, what I think would be an interesting idea is, you got people who regularly call in. Throw it out there as a topic and have the listeners that actually call into the show discuss it.
Throw what out as a topic?
As far as moving to, say, the online model.
We're talking about it right now.
From the radio side.
And we've talked about that many times.
And almost
I talked about it in 17. So, is it just something that's going to go to where, say, radio is not an option? And if it isn't, I ain't going to disagree with it,
I don't even know what you're saying.
Well, no, I mean, as far as the way you look at it, Ian, as far as keeping radio on, as far as those stations.
My thought is keeping keeping going with radio and basically, running it into the ground because it is a technology. Thank you for the call tonight, Ricky. It's a technology that exists. It has a lot of sort of an installed user base, right? There's a lot of people that still have the habit of radio. But those people are older, and I'm just trying to be realistic here. They're older, and Jay, you and I grew up with radio. I don't know about you, Joe. You're a little younger than Jay and I.
I definitely did radio and playing with the cassette, recording songs and that sort of thing. But
you've left it behind, pretty much, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's funny. I just got a new phone. It doesn't have an aux connection, and I don't have a Bluetooth connection to my phone. I still refuse to turn on the radio.
Wait, the phone has a radio option?
No. I refuse to turn the radio on in my car.
Oh, okay. He doesn't have a Bluetooth on a radio in his car.
Got it.
Right.
And another thing, too, is like with radio, like in 2001, about 2000, I started traveling to Quebec like several times a week as part of my business. I'd buy hay up there, and the radio was all French, so I didn't really know French, couldn't understand it. So I got XM radio back in the day. It was, it was a paid subscription. And in fact, I think it was, 2008 or 2009, I bought a Lifetime XM radio, which I still have. It's got a Lifetime subscription to it.
Wow.
And, now it's XM Sirius, but, I enjoyed that. I could listen to,
what the hell did you have to pay for a Lifetime subscription?
How did I do that?
It has to be expensive.
It was part of buying a truck brand new.
Wow.
That I got a Lifetime subscription to XM Radio and make the truck deal happen. And basically I was able to put that Lifetime subscription over to like a different unit.
Mm-hmm.
But basically it was like $1,100 like in 2015 or 16 to get like a Sirius XM unit with Lifetime.
Wow.
But yeah, if you are buying like a General Motors car, for example,
they'll throw it in or whatever.
They'll definitely give you like 3 years, no problem. Mm-hmm. But if you really hammer it, no, I want a Lifetime subscription to Sirius XM to make the deal happen for the car, they're going to give it to you.
Wow.
Yeah, they will.
That's interesting. So anyway, I love radio, and I hope it lasts longer than 20 years or something like that. I really do. I mean, it would be great for it to stick around. I don't want to see any of our stations go out of business.
The only reason I want it to stick around, I'll tell you why. Because the government wants control of those frequencies. The only reason I want them to stick around is so the government doesn't take it over.
Well, but the government has control over those frequencies.
In a different way, but I'm talking about in a militaristic aspect. That's why they
want. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying there. And that was the whole point of the digital television transition 15 years ago, was the analog television channels took up a lot of bandwidth, and the digital ones don't take up as much bandwidth. And so it actually allowed the FCC, once they made the transition to digital television, was they could take all those old channels from analog TV, and they auctioned that spectrum off to different companies like AT&T or Google or, big tech, big communications companies. That just was a huge moneymaker for the FCC. That was a real reason they went to digital. It wasn't because they care about you getting a better picture or something like that. It was because they care about money.
And they also want to be able to track everything you do, so they have to go the digital way, and that's easy way for you to be tracked.
Yeah, so I would love it for, radio stations to keep it together. It's getting harder because a lot of them spent a lot of money on these stations back in the 1990s, and the value of the stations has been going down. Because, again, people are starting to, younger people, they're not growing up with the habit of listening to the radio, and the odds that you're going to create that habit when they've been, as you pointed out, Jay, with many of them, they've been on digital devices ever since they were old enough to breathe. How are you gonna transition somebody like that from a habit of using a phone or some other digital product like that to flipping on a radio? Just doesn't seem very likely to me.
Even my daughter, not so much now, but like when we get in either the backhoe, which is a pretty nice radio in it, or one of the trucks, we're doing stuff around the yard. I'll let her just sit up front in the truck with me. We're just, moving things around the farm, and I'll let her play with the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be like, "Dad, put on Jingle Bells. I want to hear Jingle Bells," mm-hmm. or "I want to hear," she likes to hear "Ba Ba Black Sheep," and it's like kid songs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, honey, it's whatever's on the radio is playing." And she goes, "Oh, only a phone can play Jingle Bells."
Mm-hmm.
I go, "The radio can play Jingle Bells too, but as long as the program director on the other end." And she goes, "Oh, I thought you were the program director, Dad," she says to me one day. But we don't let our kids use any internet devices, but my wife would, put on Jingle Bells through the Bluetooth speaker from her phone, through like a Spotify or whatever.
Sure.
And one thing I do like about the radio is I've noticed with my kids, radio kind of like builds sort of a tolerance to like things that you don't really want to hear right now. But she would rather listen to the radio than nothing, to where like this internet age of just being able to stream whatever you want, and that becomes normal part of life. And then with the dopamine dysregulation that essentially happens with young developing minds when all of a sudden they can't listen to it,
mm-hmm.
like the kids that are very used to, you know, just streaming whatever it is they want to stream, and then they
whenever they want it,
whenever yeah. they want it, and then when that's not available, because their brains has basically been wired to get that instant dopamine hit from whatever,
right.
You know, it gets a little ugly and they start throwing a fit.
Mm-hmm.
And also another thing about radio that's becoming a very lost hobby or art is like ham radio or two-way communications between people. I just say ham radio as in general, but mm-hmm. We have here in New Hampshire the Pine Tree Radio Society, which is basically teaching people how to use like two-way radios and repeaters and things
sure.
like that. And they're not really
important
like,
information.
Ham radio operators. A lot of guys are just using whatever, you know,
they're free banding it, as you would call
yeah,
it.
Out of banders. And they're using like those VR5 Bofang, whatever, you know.
Yeah. There's these $25 radios you can purchase on Amazon and open them up.
I bought one of those when I was not a Bofang, but I bought what's called a Yaesu mm-hmm. VR5 in like 2001, and it was like $490.
Yeah, you can basically get the same feature set for $25.
Right, it's way better than that thing I bought 20 years ago. But anyways, and actually, I'm gonna start teaching my kids about two-way radios. We're gonna with some of the set up. I got a couple CB radios I want to set up with some neighbors and stuff, so the kids.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna go away. I think two-way is useful, you know, communications purposes. So that's and it's independent. Two-ways are independent of any kind of network, right? You can, as long as you got another person with a radio, you can talk to that person. So
and the reality is we know there's an internet shutoff button somewhere. You know, probably for mm-hmm. every single region or whatever. There's probably some button that they can shut off the internet everywhere. And it's going to be like GPS is another thing. Nobody uses paper maps anymore. Everybody's GPS.
That's
and GPS has gotten to the point where I stopped using GPS a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago.
Really?
Because it was diminishing my hunter-gatherer skills.
Mm.
And now what I do is I basically, it drives people nuts, but I'm like, can you give me directions? Can you tell me how? They're like, you don't just put it in a GPS. I'm like, no. And they're like,
wow, that's like a blast from the past.
Do they put it in their GPS to tell you where to go?
There's one girl I go get cabs from in Massachusetts. She's like, hold on, let me hand the phone to my dad. She's like 25 years old and couldn't give me directions.
All right, we got more coming up here. If you want to weigh in, the number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything you want. And one of the reasons we cut down on the commercials on this show is because we definitely want to keep radio competitive for as long as possible. So we have fewer ads on Free Talk Live now than ever before. This year. We'll come up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.